fortune to have people who can speak well and speak to us, and what a wonderful worship set we had. I wanted to just give a shout out to a good friend, partial family member too, that's here, and it's her birthday. So Deanne, way to go at happy birthday 29 again. Well, with Valentine's, I am Pastor Nicole, for those of you who may not know who I am. I am the assistant pastor here, and this is my first Sunday speaking. Hopefully it's not my last after what I share. Well, with Valentine's Day around the corner, I thought I need to tell you a few of my love stories. And in telling you that, I thought this is a good way for you to get to know me. And it should be easy for me to talk about because it's part of my life. So I wanted to tell you, and it sort of got shown first, but my mom and dad will obviously... they were one of my first loves because they formed me and had me. This was at Christmas time, just before we were saying our goodbyes at the Toronto airport. See, I'm originally an Ontarioan, and I don't want to hear any boos about that because then I'll get on my high horse and say how wonderful home is for wherever you come from. So my dad and mom, they are going to be celebrating 54 years of marriage coming up in June. And I am so blessed to come from family that loves the Lord and serves Him gladly. I have a rich godly heritage that goes back many, many years. And their love story is very unique. My mom is actually American. And she came up from Virginia to a Christian conference to just go to the conference. And she caught my dad's eye. And, well, it's kind of crazy. But through the letters back and forth, in a 9-month span, they were married. And I think they saw each other a total of 3 times. Now, that's a lot of faith there, I'll tell you. And I don't recommend it necessarily, but it sure does show that when you have your life in God's hands, He can take care of you. Now, after this, I mean, I'm sure there were small, insignificant little loves that I had, but my love today is for my husband, Steve. And Steve, one of his loves is Seattle Seahawks, and we were at the game there. We had some great seats, and then this is our little nephew, Sebastian. He's the newest of the nephews to the family. But my husband, Steve, and I, we met in Ontario. He likes to tell the story that we met at the church that I was pastoring, and he loves to say, well, he had to ask to date the pastor. Now, I wasn't the senior pastor. I was working with the young adults and the junior highs at the time. And he was the piano player. And so we dated for about 5 months. And he had moved in part of that out here to BC. Now, this is home for him. And... Anyways, I came out to visit him with a friend. And he took us down, because we were new to the area, he took us down to the border, to the Peace Arch crossing. And we thought we were, my friend and I thought we were going, you know, to the States. But if you can actually see the lineup of the cars there, I actually got that one off of the internet. But that's what it felt like that day. We got out, instead of crossing the border, we got out and we started to walk towards the arch. And we were walking hand in hand, and then my friend Sally was suddenly not walking with us. And I'm, what's going on here? And he knelt down in front of the Peace Arch Bridge and he proposed. brings a tear to my eye every time. One thing which was so awesome, and I'll never forget this, is he's very sweet. He took the time to think about where he was going to propose. With my mom American, my dad Canadian, he thought that would be such a beautiful spot. But if you note, I know, you can kind of, maybe is it corny? I don't think so, but I love it. But there was all kinds of honking the horns and all that because people were like, so... Of course I had to say yes. No. But I look at the two lines. I don't know if you can see it or not, but one on the top of the Peace Arch and one in the middle where the gate is. There's a verse of scripture. It says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." That's from Psalm 133. And then the other one says, "May these gates never close." Well, you know what? I thought, wow, that was just so special for me because loving the Lord so much and seeing that, you know, he took the time to do this. But yeah, I don't want these gates of my marriage to ever be closed. And yeah, I want to dwell with him together in unity. So I'm just saying, men, if you have any kind of problem with trying to figure out what to get for your significant other, go to Steve. He's very good at these ideas. Love you. We were married in Ontario, and then we moved right out here, and we've now been married for 18 and a half years. So we've done pretty good. Thank you. I also wanted to say I don't have a picture, but not only do I have a wonderful godly heritage. Not everybody can say that, I understand that, but I also want to testify and recognize that I have wonderful in-laws who are actually here today, so we can welcome them. And they live here in Surrey, and they grew Steve up right, and I'm blessed to have them. They are a great help to us. Well, in getting to know me, there are a few other loves that I have. We had our first daughter, whose name is Ashley, and she'll show up on the screen. If you ever see Ashley, she is always smiling. She is one of those persons who you don't see down very often, which is so great. That is very typical of her, and she looks good in any kind of picture you take, which... you know, bugs me, but anyways. one of her loves is definitely being very studious. She's a good student. Another love is definitely family. Another one is definitely the Lord. This is her getting her new Bible at Christmas time in the middle. And her other love, which if you don't see her in church, you know where she is. She's on the field playing ball. She's a pitcher. And she can throw the ball so fast, you're supposed to say, how fast can she throw? She does the windmill throw and throws it in, and this sort of is a hop step, and I don't do it right, Mom. But 56 miles an hour, and that's from 40 feet. So that's going to tell you that, no, I don't catch for her anymore. My knees have sustained way too many bruises or elbows and that. So, yeah, we let Dad do that. The next slide is of my daughter, Sierra. Now, Sierra is 5 years younger, and Sierra is our busy girl. She is always, always on the go. She always wants to hang with her friends. She's a very social, friendly, relaxed, and always laughing kind of girl. But she's also very bendy. You can see... on the slide to the far right, she got on the silks. There's a circus lab. It's a new thing that the kids are all into, and they get on these silks and they bend and contort and they wind themselves up and come down, and I'm telling you, it's a little bit scary at times, but she loves it and we're thankful for that. she's very tender-hearted, and you know what? Her teacher wrote in her report card that I was very proud of her. She's sensitive to the needs of others and will step in to help without being asked when she sees a need. She chooses to partner with students who have troubles and has helped them feel included and valued. What more? Well, I'll tell you what more. When you see your kids involved in ministry, so she's ministering at school, and she's ministering here. It's kind of dark with this little baby in the background. That was back home in Ontario. My mom was playing the organ for the Christmas Eve service, and she asked Steve to join her. And they had asked my daughter Sierra to sing. She has a beautiful voice. And so I'm telling you, my mother's heart was so full that Christmas Eve, seeing my family minister to the Lord. These are some of my loves, but I would be remiss if I didn't tell you about one more. I mean, I really want you to get to know me. And, well, my puppy. Yes, Steve, Chester made it into the sermon. Chester, what Steve calls Chester is my son, because I can be gone for 2 minutes next door to borrow some eggs or flour, whatever it is you need, and I'll come right back, and he will treat me as if I had been gone for 5 years, right? So the love that's there is so wonderful. One more slide. This is my new love. Okay. You're not supposed to clap or laugh. I mean, I picked that one of Pastor Wes because I just think it's great. But Surrey, this church is my new love. I am so excited that you are my new family. And I just want to squash one rumor. Apparently last week it was said from the platform that maybe I don't like fishing. I just want to squash that rumor right now, okay? I would go out with you if you asked me to go fishing. I would love it. Yes, ask me to go. Now, the only thing I would ask is, like, I don't have a rod, so I need to borrow a rod. And well, you would need to bait the hook. And then I can cast it out there. I'm happy to sit there and talk and, you know, have a coffee or whatever it is. And oh, well, when I catch it, you need to take it off. I don't touch fish, okay? You take it off. And I'll even go one step further to make the fishing experience excellent. I will let you take the fish home. You can cook it. You can eat it. I have no problem there, because, you know, that's what friends and families do for each other, right? Yeah. And families, you know what? We watch out for one another. We grow together through thick and thin, and we don't give up on each other, do we? You do good for one another. You see the needs of each other. We've heard today that's what we're seeing in our church. That's how growth happens. We put others first. We heard Pastor Wes talk about that last week. Humbleness, true humility by considering others ahead of ourselves. Well, I want to tell you about my first love. These are some of my loves, but I want to talk to you about God. Have you ever planted a seed and tried to watch it grow? It takes time, patience, nurturing. Nurturing. How do you nurture a seed? Well, we all know you get the seed and you put it in the ground and you get good soil. You need lots of sunlight and the water to come down. And if you don't have those, how is it going to grow? If you don't have that time, patience, and nurturing, it's not going to grow. But just like that seed, we need Jesus' love as our foundation to prosper in life. We need time with him. We need patience along the way. And from time to time, we need his nurturing. Sometimes it's through his straight love for us. Sometimes it's through his discipline. And sometimes it's through his encouragement. Well, all my loves that I showed you, they all took these things, but my love for each of them grew slowly, sometimes through thick and thin. When a child gets hurt, who does he run to for help? Usually mom. Yes, usually mom. See, mom loves on him. Mom gets the Kleenex and wipes the eye. Mom gets the Band-Aid and puts the Band-Aid on, or the salve, and cleans it. There, there. Well, what do you do when you get hurt? Is there someone there for you? Is there a family, a friend? Are you alone? Whether there's someone there or not, God is always there. You can always run into the loving arms of the Heavenly Father because he is our foundation. He shows us how love works. 1 John 4, verses 7 to 10, it's on the screen. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. That's the foundation. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In church, as children, when we go through maybe we college or go through different levels in the church, we learn about some foundational, important verses. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and will forgive us all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. That's his nature. If you're here today and have never asked Jesus to come into your heart, God's word says that you will not experience eternal damnation, rather eternal life. He sent Jesus to die on the cross for all of the bad that's in your life and in the world. And when you ask Jesus to come into your life, he forgives, he cleanses, he makes whole. And you are clean before our holy God. He wants to rule in your heart forever and will allow you to have eternal life with him. 1 John 3, verse 1. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. From the smallest, newest baby to the oldest one. And as God's people, we are referred to as children of God. Daughters and sons of the King. Let me say that again. You are a daughter and son of the King, the Most High God, the holiest of holies. That's you. You have a right relationship because this has happened. What a blessing. Do you realize that in your fellowship with Christ, in secret or in public, you are surrounded by and kept in his heavenly love? That's Jesus, our foundation. Well, from beginning to end, he has loved me. I can pinpoint many verses in the Bible about how or when God has shown love to me. There's tons of verses in the Bible. If you just look up love on Bible Gateway, it just, right, pages and pages. So I want to zoom in on three kind of particular ones. And I thought, well, what better way to do it? Let's start with the beginning of the Bible. Let's go to the middle, and then let's go to the end. And what is it saying about love? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 to 9, it's referred to as the Shema in Hebrew, which means to hear. In Jesus' day, it was recited daily by the Jews, but do you know what? In Jewish services today, they say it every service. Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This was to remind the Israelites to love God with all their heart, soul, strength, to have the word of God hidden in their hearts. But how do you hide it? Well, you actually talk about it. You memorize it. You think on it. Everywhere you go, you recall the words. It's constantly on your mind. And number three, you teach them to your children. This is what God wants. He wants 100% of us. It's a consuming thought. God must be the sole object of Israel's love and obedience. Well, if God must be the sole object of Israel's love and obedience, then what does that mean for us today? It's not just on a Sunday. It's not just on a Tuesday. Oh, it's Saturday. Sunday's a coming. He wants 100% every day. If we go to the middle of the Bible, in the book of Matthew, chapter 22, verse 37, we see Jesus being asked this question: of all the laws, which one is the most important? Jesus is being asked this. And what does he say? He said, love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's 100%. That's with everything I've got. I must love God. But what about how I respond to love? Well, that means everything even that's within reach of me. My children, my spouse, my friends, my family. Ask yourself, does what I'm about to do or say come from a heart that loves God above all else? If we stopped to do that, wow, we wouldn't fight so much, would we? Is what I am thinking about come from a heart that loves God? There are so many things that are said, whether it's TV, whether it's someone speaking something to you, whatever it is, and all of a sudden you start dwelling on it. Is it truth or is it lie? If it's truth, then it comes from a heart that loves God? Or is it something I'm dwelling on that's so close to the truth, it's a lie? What I'm thinking about, does it come from a heart that loves God? God must be the sole object of our love and obedience at all times, and this includes our thought life. Well, if we go to the end of the Bible, book of Revelations. In Revelations, one of the churches in the books that John talks about in chapter 2 is the church of Ephesus. And I don't want to linger on this a long time because there's so much in Revelations that you can get into. But hear what these words are saying. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not and found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Wow, that church is doing great. Wouldn't you think they're doing excellent when you heard all of that? Yes, but wait till you read the next verse. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Remember what Deuteronomy and Matthew said? Loving the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. Well, what were the things that you did at first when Jesus came into your heart? Did you make drastic changes in your lifestyle? Maybe. Do you have that same joy that was first there when you met Jesus? Do you remember what happened when he came into your life and filled you up? Do you remember even some of those renewal times where God just touched you in a service? Or at home when you were just praying and he just came in like a flood. The Holy Spirit just touched you. Do you have a joy in serving? Do you love people? Do you love to do his will? Do you take time for him? Like during the week, do you just stop and go, I can't handle anymore? And instead of calling for, you know, a hot bath and whatever it is that helps you to relax, you say, no, God, just come right now. God, I need you. I want to stop because I love you. I can't do it anymore. I need you, Jesus. This Ephesus church, it was such a hard word to receive. But what was being said is they needed their passion renewed. They needed a right relationship with God renewed. At first, they had a deep love and devotion to Christ and to his word. You know what? Here's the other thing. It's great to know your theology. It's great to know your Bible. But do we above all have a heartfelt love for him? Because it's one thing to read, to know. But the next step is to do, is to serve. It's Revelation said, you forsaken? Okay. So repent. And then get back to your first love. John 15, verse 9 says, to abide in his love. As author Andrew Murray writes, we need to let our desire reach out to this everlasting love. Can you picture that? Our desire reaching out to his love, a hand reaching to that goal, that desire, that vision. I need that, Lord. I need more of that. Help me to get up there. Help me to climb to those heights that you want me to reach. If God loves you this much, are you living your life for him? Does your life reflect Jesus in you? How long has it been since you've read from God's word or waited and listened to him speak? How long has it been since you meditated on those words like we heard in Deuteronomy and you let them sink from your mind to your heart? When I'm teaching kids, when I'm teaching my own children even, I say to them, you got to think on it for a while. You know, even the Bible even says, you know, chew on the words. Well, what does that mean, Mom? Well, you need to think about it. Like, does it make sense to you? Or let's look up in another verse of the Bible. Does that truth? And well, think about it. How could we work that out, right? You're thinking on it. You're chewing on it. And you're meditating on it. And as you do, it's not just a passing thought. What happens? It sinks down to your heart. And when it's in your heart, it's there to stay. Is it locked up there? No. Have you ever had a time where you're talking to somebody and all of a sudden a memory verse that you learned millions of years ago, well, you know, a couple of years ago, it just comes out. The words just flow right out and you're thinking, thank you, Lord. I don't know where I got that from, but yeah, that's right on. It's because it's in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's not just a passing thought. I've meditated it. I've thought about it. And now it's part of me. It's in my heart. I play a game with my youngest, Sierra. And a lot of the times it's at bedtime, but lately I'm noticing it's starting to happen when I do drop off or when I'm on the phone with her. And the game usually at bedtime is, okay, good night, I love you. Okay. And she'll say, I love you more. Well, you know where this is going, right? I love you more to infinity. And I try and reset the room, and she's like, as I'm running down the stairs, I love you more, infinity plus one. It's like, ugh. But you know, you don't want to keep playing because they got to go to sleep, right? So lately what she's been doing is I'll drop her off in the morning before school. I'm like, I love you, okay, love you. Love you plus infinity. Walk. And she slams the door, turns around, and will not look at me so that I can, you know, mouth it back to her, plus one, you know. Or she'll be on the phone and she'll say, Mom, I'm home from school. Hey, thanks, honey. Thanks for telling me that you're home from school, because she's been walking home herself. And hey, good job. Okay, I love you. I love you more. I'm telling you, she's all about the fun. Why did I tell you that story? Well, I'll tell you why. There's a beautiful old hymn called The Love of God by Frederick Lehman. And the story goes that he was headed to work one day and he was thinking about the limitlessness of God's love. And he began to jot down words that eventually became part of this hymn. Have you ever thought about the limitlessness of God's love? I don't have the first verse written up on here. I should have, but I'll read it to you. It says, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. Some of you are probably mouthing the words along with me. Well, the third verse is very compelling. And it was actually added to the hymn a little bit later. It was actually a small part of an ancient lengthy poem entitled The Hadamut, which was composed in the year 1096. By a Jewish songwriter who lived in Germany. Remember, think about the limitlessness of God's love. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above, it would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You read those words and you think about the Father's love. I mean, he's here right now. It speaks of the depth and the strength of God's love. What great truth. Man, if Christians, we would walk around with the truth that I am loved by God. He is my Father. I am a child of God. Romans 8, 38, 39, for I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor demons, not the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. Nothing we can do will ever stop God from loving us. His love has no end. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. This is the God we serve. That's who he is. But what's your response? This really is the nitty-gritty it comes down to. Is success driving you forward, or is his love? Is he your first love? His love is the most precious gift for our lives. And at this moment, Jesus is here. His arms are wide open. He's calling to you. And if you would only open your heart just a little bit more, and you would reach out to him and call to him, he will answer you. My spiritual hunger is directly proportional to the commitments I make. When I walk out that door today, what is my commitment to my first love? My spiritual maturity is directly proportional to the commitments I keep. I'm going to invite my husband to come. I've had this song on my heart for a while, and it just expressed how I was feeling about Jesus and his great love. We sing this today, we are not professionals, but it's where our heart is. The words are going to be up on the screen so you can follow along, but we would ask that you just close your eyes and just hear the words that we sing.
You are still my first love, and all I am is yours. You are still my anchor, forever I'm secure. You are still my first love. You're my guiding light. You're with me in the fire, and you lead me through the night. You have my heart. You've won my heart. Wow, I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul rejoice.
You are still my first love, and all I'm longing for, you'll always be the fortress. My shelter in the storm.
You have my heart. You've won my heart. Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul rejoice. Oh, how I love you. Jesus, you are my greatest joy. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Sing it with us.
Sing it with us.
Oh, how I love you, Jesus. You are my greatest joy. How I adore you, Jesus. Oh, my soul, rejoice.
Response. I'm opening up the altars and I'm going to ask the staff to join us here. Come and make yourselves available. We want to pray with you. If you need Jesus, come. We want to pray with you. We want to tell you all about our first love. You know what? But for those who are Christians here, have you allowed Jesus to be your foundation? Have you expressed thanks to him for his great love? Do your children know of your love for God? And are you passing these truths on to him? Is he your true love? Do you treat him that way, or is it just on Sundays? When you walk out that door, what is your response? Are you putting the right amount of effort into your relationship with God as you do with the relationships here on earth? You know what? Come now. Come pray about this. Love comes from God. You need him. I need him to be the sole object of our love and obedience. I'm closing the service. If you need to go, please do so quietly and be blessed. But for those who can stay, why not stay a moment longer? Why not come to the altar and talk to him now? Yes, God.
Yes. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, to my brother. Worthy.